As mentioned last week, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, his birthday was on Zayin Sim. It was on Yom Tov Shavuos in 1749. There's something interesting. There is a particular legend surrounding the birth of Reb Chaim. There's actually two versions concerning that birth. Number one, his mother's name was Rivka. And she was a tzaddikus who very often hosted the Shagisaria in her house. You have to realize that what we take for granted today, that every person who wants a shas, all he has to do is go out and buy one. Certainly a shas can be found anywhere and everywhere. But this was not true many years ago. In fact, there were many, many Gedolei Yisrael that did not own a complete shas. Stambal Batim, surely not. But even Rabbonim, even some Rabbonim did not have a complete shas. As a matter of fact, I remember still in the years of Yeshiva, I believe it was in the Masechtas Gittin, and learning a particular Maharam Shif, great Maharam Shif, 400 years, four centuries. And he cross-references a particular Masechta, he toises, and he says, I think it's on top there. He didn't have a Gemara to look it up. I think it's over there. I believe it's over there. And this was a fact. So the Shagisari many times would come to the host of Reb Chaim Volozhiner's family, his mother, his father, and they had an entire Shas, and he would sit there and learn in the house, and avail himself to the various volumes of Shas that was available in the house. It turns out that when Reb Chaim was about to be born, when his mother was about to give birth to him, Shagisari was there in the house, of course, in a different room, and he was sitting and learning. And the way one version of the legend goes is that, being that Reb Chaim's mother knew that the Shagisari was sitting and learning, she did not want to distract him with her cries of labor pain, and therefore with, let's say, superhuman strength, she contained her pain and her tsar and did not utter a sound in order not to distract the Shagisari from learning. And it is said that later on, when the Shagisari heard about that, so he gave her a bracha. And he gave a bracha to Rivka, and he said that you wanted your voice not to disrupt me from my learning. So I give you a bracha that the voice of this child that is born, in fact, will be heard throughout the world. So this is one version concerning about the birth of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That in fact, it was a bracha from the Shagisari. Another slightly different version is that in fact, that in the opposite direction, not dealing with sound of the voice of the mother, but with the mother being aware that she's giving birth and the Shagisari was learning in the next room. So Amela, she wanted to make sure that the Shagisari just learning should be heard during the time that she's giving birth. And as a result, she made sure that the child, the birth, would be as close as possible to where the Shagisari was learning. So the voice of Torah from the Shagisari's mouth would in fact be heard by the child. And again, when the Shagisari heard about that, he gave a brush and said that the same way that you wanted your child to hear the voice of Torah, the whole world should hear his voice of Torah in the future. But be as it may, these are the things that are surrounding again about the greatness of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Let me just mention again, as mentioned, that Reb Chaim Volozhiner at first, as he grew, he started under Reb Raphael Hamburger. The truth is that Reb Raphael Hamburger at first was not brought in Hamburg. Reb Chaim Volozhiner did not go to Hamburg. In fact, he was a Rav in Minsk. So at that particular time, that's when Reb Chaim Volozhiner learned by him. Minsk was not mentioned, not very far from Volozhiner. And later on, he became known as Reb Raphael Hamburger, became the Rav of Hamburg. And, as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, the Reb Chaim had the opportunity to learn about the Shagisari himself. Here we have the Shagisari giving the bracha concerning the birth of Reb Chaim. But as Reb Chaim grew older, he in fact learned by the Shagisari. But as mentioned, the turning point of his life was when Reb Chaim became 19 years old. That's when he meets the Vilna Goyim. And of course, the rest is history. It is told that when Reb Chaim meets the Goyim, when he meets the Vilna Goyim, and he tells them that he already, by that time, he had learned and he had reviewed the entire, says all of the Masechtas and the entire Seder Moed. And he said that he had reviewed it about 14 times. Not just he was Messiah, all the Masechtas and Seder Moed, but he had already reviewed it 14 times. implying that he knows it well. And the Goyen sort of looks at him aghastly, and the Goyen says, he says, how many times? He says, 14 times. He says, that's all. So Rabbi Chaim says, well, how much do you expect me to learn? 101? And Rabbi Chaim said, not even that's enough, he says. Lifetime is a limit, he says. You really have to continue learning and chazering, reviewing over and over again. And, of course, he became the Rebbe Mubik of Rabbi Chaim. Rebbe Mubik, of course, he means to say the primary teacher of all the Rebbeim that Rabbi Chaim had. The Goyen becomes his Rebbe Mubik. And he was guided by the Goyen in every aspect of his life. Everything that he saw and everything that he learned from the Goyen became something that translated into practical practice by Rav Chaim Volozhin. And so on. It's interesting just to point out that when you say, talk about Rebbe Mubik, there's actually two perushim what a Rebbe Mubik means. The common pshat, of course, a Rebbe Mubik means, the Rebbe means a primary teacher, he's your main Rebbe, the one that you learn from. But the truth is that the term Rebbe Mubik is also found in the Tosis Yontis, Mesechtes Bavli Metzia, Perek Beis, and Tosis Yontif says, Rebbe Mubik means a Rebbe, he's a teacher who inspires the student to shine. Mubik is Boyak. Boyak means to shine. So the tachlis of a Rebbe really is to be able to have that much influence on your Talmud that you cause the Talmud to shine. That's the lotion of Rebbe Mubik. Either way, of course, the description of Rebbe Mubik, any interpretation applies between the Goyen and Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. To point out that in 1765, Rabbi Chaim, he becomes the Rav of Volozhin, and it was in 1803 that he writes letters throughout all of Lithuania to all of the Rabbonim, begging them to join him to start the yeshiva for young men that are wishing to study Torah. And Rabbi Chaim understood it, and he believed that there were hundreds of boys being lost, he says, being lost from Torah every day, and he stated unequivocally, he said, that unless he says, we are able to get young men to be inspired in order to study Torah, he said, the future of college for Rabbi Chaim looks very bleak. This is what he saw. He saw the handwriting on the wall. And in fact, he offered to pay the Rebbeim, he himself, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. He offered to pay the Rebbeim. The common practice in that time was that children would learn in cheder, in the local cheder, until about age 13. After age 13, but there are clouds shortly after Bar Mitzvah to go to work. That was common practice. After age Bar Mitzvah to go to work. Unless there was an individual who showed great potential, he might go to the local Rav and learn on a one-on-one basis, under the tutelage of that particular Rav, and so on. But that was a rarity. So these Talmidim, from that you can't expect you not to have a generation of people learning Torah. And therefore you saw very clearly that you have to institute something new, which is called the yeshiva, and the way that we see him today, which is the seeds have been planted and everything started from Rav Chaim Volozhin, the type of yeshiva system. And, of course, many Rabbonim took up Rav Chaim Volozhin and became, in fact, two Volozhin to give shiurim. So Mice had opened up in 1803, and Rav Chaim Volozhin was the first Rosh Yeshiva. Just want to mention that in actuality, Reb Chaim had this idea to start Yeshivas Volozhin even earlier. And he presented the idea to the Goyen, and he asked the Goyen about it. But the first time when he came with this excitement, with this exuberance, and he presented the idea to the Goyen about starting a Yeshiva, at that time the Goyen said no. The Goyen twice declined and told him not to proceed. But later on, when Reb Chaim, again, he proposed the idea to the Goyen, this time, in fact, the Goyen encouraged him to start it. And the way Bala Musar, who hear the Maisa, the way they interpret it is because the Goyen again understood human nature, that many times a person is very, very excited when he gets an idea, but after a while, very, very common, all too often, that the idea waters down and everything is lost. The Goyen wanted to be really sure that Reb Chaim is ready for this tremendous task and this great undertaking. It's not just something that was a fleet of the moment idea of a thought, but to see really that he maintains that excitement even after a while. That's why when he asked them again, after quite a while had passed, and the Goyen noticed in Reb Chaim that in fact he maintained the same zrizus and the same excitement about the idea, he was the same committed ever so much as the very first time, and then in fact he gave him the advice that he should proceed to start the yeshiva. So this is Reb Chaim Volozhin, just to mention that the successor to Reb Chaim Volozhin was Nichter, was his son, Reb Itzel Volozhin, who was his successor. As a matter of fact, Itzel was not just the Rosh Yeshiva, he was heavily involved in Bechlal and communal affairs and all of the inyonim relating to the Jewish people. He was in the forefront of all of the issues. He would travel to the Russian capital, at that time St. Petersburg, together with the Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch. Very interesting. They'd both be very much involved on behalf of Russian Jews, or to be able to abolish various gzeiros that were implemented by the government against the spiritual teaching and so on and so forth. The fact is, he was so involved in public affairs, that's what happens many times, that he gave over the leadership of the yeshiva, Rebitzel, gave it over. He had two sons-in-law. One was replaced, the Yitzchak Fried, and the other one, which of course was the Nitziv, one which for all time that we know about, from the Poli Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, with the Nitziv, who finally, he was the one really who kept the yeshiva. So just let me just mention this one thing, that many years ago there was a young man from England, who came to America to raise funds for the yeshiva in Sunderland, which is in northern England. So Lamaisi was not meeting much success. As much as he tried, he was very disappointed and he was quite disheartened, returning to England. And he considered returning to England. But he figured out the last thing he's to ask an agent for Biankiv Kamenetsky. And he goes to Biankiv's home in Muncie at the time and explains the dilemma. And he says that people in America don't seem to be interested, he says, in supporting a yeshiva that's so far away and not well known. And Biankiv says, tell the people you go to that no one knows whose Torah study supports the world. Maybe it's in the schools of the Torah being learned in Sunderland that the world survives. I just want to mention that this is what Rabbi Yankov said, in fact, is the Ashkofer of Reb Chaim Volozhin himself. And we sort of touched upon it last week just a little bit. Because Reb Chaim says, in fact, in Nefesh HaChaim, we'll get to it, Bezos Hashem, which is in Shar Dalad, and there Reb Chaim writes the following words. Reb Chaim writes, "For Emes Bilti Sofi Klal." Reb Chaim says, the truth is, without even a moment of a doubt, but not even a shadow of a doubt, Shimhoya Oilam Kuloi Miksosoi at Kitseu Ponichas Bisholam Abrega Echot Mamish. If the world, from one end of the world to the other, if it would be one place in the world, it's no place, not even one place, where there is some Torah learning, if not a word of Torah is being studied or contemplated, as he says, Kirega Hoyenechrobim, he says, Kol Ho Oilomois El Yoinim Itachtoinim. All the upper and lower spheres will be totally, he says, destroyed. They would be destroyed and the universe would dissolve to nothingness. So it's a kind of illusion. So Amela, of course, so we understand that you have people in this part of the world learning, you have people in the other part of the learning. But again, there has to be Torah learning at all times in some point in some place of the world. Who knows, therefore, in which schools and in which mokim that the Koyach of Torah, of course, is being upheld. We continue, Rav Yisrael, here now in the Nefesh HaChaim. We were Shar Aleph. Towards the end of Perik Beis, just a few lines, the last few lines, the Zehu Shenikra, who is Baruch Shemayi Hualikim. Shar Aleph, Perik Beis. The Zehu Shenikra, who is Baruch Shemayi Hualikim. Reb Chaim, again, if we remember, was elaborating, why is it that man, the positive referred to, has been created, B'Tzalem Alekim, in the image of Alekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known by many different titles of Shemois, and here the Pasuk advisedly uses the Loshon Elikim. Why? What does it mean that man is created dafke in the Tzelem of Elikim? The Shem Elikim is being used. And Reb Chaim Volozhin again went on to point out, first of all, we have to understand what is the significance of the Shem Elikim. And the Shem Elikim, as Reb Chaim pointed out, Bariches was, the Shem Elikim, of course, and by the way, it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the Kavon of the Shem Elikim is, Takif Ubal Yecholis Kulam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. So when you daven and you come across the word Elikim, the Kavona that you have to have in mind when you see the Shem Elikim, that you have to be mechashiv in terms of the Pirush Hamilus. Whenever you see the Shem Elikim, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. And Reb Chaim went on to explain in what, where do we focus on this idea and this notion Hashem is all-powerful? What is it come, to what extent is this coming? Is this coming to teach us? And Reb Chaim says Hashem is all-powerful, meaning that not only that He created the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every moment of the existence of the world is, as it were, recreating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses the world with fresh chius, with fresh vitality, with the fresh power of being to exist, to sustain, to continue to have the world being sustained. It's not like He created it, and now Mamela stands on its own. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has input, not once a week, not once a day, but every second that the world is in existence, called Rega Brega, and he says, Mamish, is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Koyach HaMechadesh B'tuboy B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. That is the Shem Elikim denotes. A Kodesh Baruch Hu forever and ever continuously, non-stop, is blowing fresh light into the existence of the world. Otherwise, it would cease to exist. It would result back into nothingness. So now Reb Chaim says, we conclude here these last few lines just here, and he says, "V'zehu shenikra hu yizbarach shemoi olikim." Again, the pair of days. He says, and that's why he says, It is for this reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Elikim. Bal HaKoycho is Kulam, meaning the all-powerful. In what way? Shekol Koyach Proti HaNimtza B'chol Oilamois. Because any power that exists in this world, any power whatsoever, HaKoyl Hu Yisborach Shemoi, it is all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaBal Koyach Shalahem, who is the Bal Koyach, who is the source of power. Shemashpia behem HaKoyach Yigvura Kol Rega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues constantly to infuse the Bria, the forces of nature, with the power to function. So, the world has to be infused continuously with the power to function. That is what the Shem Elokim means. Utluyim biyodoi tomid. And everything hinges on that. They are all subservient. Utluyim biyodoi tomid. Lishanoisam lesadrum. HaKadosh Baruch has the ability any moment, any second, to change things, to be misadar things, kirtoyne yidvarach, according to his will. It is all subservient to his will. So that becomes the essence, that becomes the meaning of the Shem Elokim. Just want to mention that, in fact, you see here clearly Rav Chaim, the Lashon, takes the opinion that the definition that man was created with Tzelem Elokim, Elokim refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore now Rav Chaim is trying to explain the relationship between man's creation, in which way is man compared, in which way is man's likeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Shem Elokim. And as he continues, if we go soon into the next parish. However, there are many Rishonim, as a matter of fact, Ayin B'Cheskuni, as a matter of fact, even reference to Chazal, and you can see Ramban, that Elokim, the Tzelem Elokim refers to angels. And the Shem, the Elokim in the Pasuk, the man was created, the Tzelem Elokim, does not mean the likeness of Hashem. Elokim is referring to Malachim. And therefore, Bechlal, the whole thesis, of course, of Rabbi Chaim, who brings out, first of all, Godless Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, in which is denoted by the Shem Elokim, would not follow that chat. Rav Chaim clearly goes, follows these Rishayim, will learn Elokim refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather we find in the Cheskuni and others that they point out that man was created with Tzelem Elokim, does not mean the likeness of Hashem, because you can't in no way compare a man to Hashem. But rather, if anything, man is more like in the likeness of the angels, more like angelic, the word Elokim. But Rav Chaim does not go with that at all. Rav Chaim says Tzelem Elokim means yes, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if we want to try to figure out in what way was man created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to first have to understand what does the word Elokim mean. And therefore, Reb Chaim, as he therefore produced the idea, and gave us the idea, and taught us the idea, that the Shem Elokim means Bal Yecholus, Bal HaKoyches Kulam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koyach is involved every moment and every second in creation of the world, that in fact is Elokim. Now, if Elokim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only controls the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually gives life and recreates the world, recreates every moment. If we say that man was created, the Tzelem Elokim, man was created in the likeness of Hashem, do you know what the power of man means? Come to Rav Chaim now when we go to the next parik. Rav Chaim, we go now to Perik Gimel. And we take a look in Perik Gimel. Rav Chaim continues on, and Rav Chaim says, Kain bedin mien zeh. Likewise, if man is created with Tzelem Elokim, now make a cheshvin, have an idea, an incredible idea, to the greatness of man, how great man is, the powers of man. Because Kain B'dimyon Hazeh is exactly in that kind of a likeness, kibiyokol, as it were, Boro Hu Yisbarach Es Odom. Man was also created, B'Tzelem Elokim, which means that man contains the Koyach of Elokim within himself. The Hishlitoi, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, empowered man to control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered man to control al ribei rivivon koyches ha'olamos, on the tens of thousands of the upper worlds. There's no end of how many upper worlds there are. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered man to control these countless forces. It says ein mispar. You can't count them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the ability to control countless forces and worlds. U'masrim biyodoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it all into the hands of man. Sheyehu Ha-medaber v'hamani goysam. The word medaber, he means leader. Because we know the word medaber means to speak. But medaber also means leader. Dabar echot l'dor, as we know in many places, the lotion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the ability, the control, that he, in fact, he is the one who is going to be controlling the world. He handed over to him. Man directs them. Man directs them. And man guides these upper spheres. How does he guide them? How does he control them? Al pi kol prote tenuois masov. V'dibura u'machshevoisa. It is man, either through his maisim, the three things, which Reb Chaim mentions many, many times. Man's power in this world is through three ways. Man projects either through action, maise, dibur, machshove. And all of these things, even though we know maise has greater power than dibur, than speech, and speech has greater power than machshove, maise, dibur, machshove, but each and every facet, whether it's maise, whether dibur, machshove, whatever man does, his deeds, whatever man says, whatever man even thinks, have the tremendous far-reaching effect to the upper world and to this world, for better or for worse. And as the Chaim goes on to explain. Again, this all depends. Man's control over the world is based upon, called prote tenuois masos. It is based upon his deeds, his actions, the diburov, his words, machshavosof, and his thoughts, the chol sidra hanagosof, and it has to do with how man conducts himself, he says. Hein l'toiv or l'hepachat v'sholem. Whether he does things for the positive, for the good, or chas v'sholem, he does it for the opposite. Says Reb Chaim, I want you to know, ki v'masov v'diburov u'machshavoyisov ha-toydim, if man utilizes his abilities for good, his maisim, his actions, his dibur, and his machshavos, then hu mekayim, then that way he sustains, he says, v'noisen koyach v'kam mekoychoiz v'oylomis olyonim ha-gdoshim. He gives energy to the countless forces and to the celestial world. And he also increases, he says, their holiness and their light and their radiance. So everything that man does of here has tremendous effect in the upper worlds. He sustains them. He infuses them with energy. He gives them extra light of holiness and radiance. There are some who suggest that maybe Reb Chaim points out three things. He points out who Mekayim, that man is able to be Mekayim, it is his power that sustains the world. And then he says, V'noisa and Koyach, he gives energy to the world. And then he says, U'moisa ben Kedusha Boyer, and he has holiness and Oyer life. These three ideas, possibly, some of Farshim want to say, on Nefesh HaChayim, that maybe they correspond to the three things through which man functions. In other words, man functions through three ways. Maise, Dibur, and Machshove. So maise, which is the ultimate force, which is actually a maise, which is when man does a positive deed, that has the power to sustain the world. Man who does and functions through the item of dibur, then his words are positive words, he says the right thing, speaks what you're supposed to, what you're allowed to, words of Torah, words of mitzvahs, words of comfort, then that infuses energy, which is a lesser degree than the first. And thoughts, positive thoughts, doesn't create, doesn't infuse energy, but what it does is it adds holiness and adds light and adds kedusha. This is a suggestion of some of Parshim, the three ideas of how man influences the world, possibly is a tetzor, is a result of also the three ways that man functions, through maise, dibur, and machshava. But be as it may. So everything in the upper worlds, how much light and how much kedusha it's going to have, more kedusha or less kedusha. The world to exist, man does not realize that he destroys the worlds up there. You don't know what's going on. It's like throwing bombs. Literally, throwing bombs, shooting bullets. He's destroying worlds. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't see it. That's where Reb Chaim comes to. You have to understand. That first it tells us the positive side. The positive side, that man is Mekayim. He sustains all those worlds. He infuses it with energy. Through his Maisim, through his actions, through his Dibur, through his Machshavah. And he's Maisim. He's Maisim Kiddush Shavior. And he increases their light and their holiness. Kemo Yishikosov, and he brings the Pasuk, in fact, in Yishayah. Yishayah, Novi says, the Osim, he says, Devarai Beticho, I have placed my words in your mouth. In other words, through the things that you, through the koich of your mouth, through the koich of your mouth, Lintoya Shomayim Belisoid Oretz, you have the ability to implant the heavens and to set a foundation for the earth. In other words, this is the koich of man, man who follows the words of Hashem, man who takes the words of Hashem and absorbs the words of Hashem. The Osim Devarai Beticho. Man who takes the words of Hashem and incorporates those words of Hashem, what is the result? What is the consequence? The Novi says that. The Novi says that man, through taking the Divrei Hashem, the Ficho, and lives by them and works with them, in Lintoya Shemaim, he actually implants the heavens and sets the foundation of the earth. And Mefarshim explains this in a very simple way. That one has to understand this is, can imagine you have a long rope. You have a long rope that reaches from top to bottom, and there's someone standing on the bottom, and he shakes the rope. If you shake it up here, so the top also shakes by giving a shake here on the bottom. The same idea. Man's every action, whether it's good or bad, it corresponds and has a corresponding effect in Shemayim. That's what Rav Chaim tells us. That's the koyach of man. And he goes on to say, "Ukamamor amzal." As we find, in fact, as Chazal has told us, and we say this in the davening, we say, "Sholom Rav lo yehavei toyresecho." We say, "Veilom amitcho al tikra bonayich." When the pasuk says, "Bonayich your children," so Chazal say, "Don't read it bonayich," but the exact same words can be reinterpreted to mean "elo boynoyich," which means your builders. So Rav Chaim points out to say, what does it mean? What does it mean that your children are builders? What are they building? So Rav Chaim says, yes, they are building both this world and they are building all of the upper worlds. See, now we are being told, and we understand, says Rav Chaim, Chazal are saying, Kehema Hamisadrim, because they, the children who are in Tyran, means Bnei Yisrael, Kal Yisrael, they are the ones, they are the builders, that they exert the influence in the upper world. They are misader oylom Yisrael yoinim. They exert the influence in the upper world. Kebayne, in the same way that a builder, hamisader binyonoi, in the same way that a builder designs the structure, v'noisim behem koyach rav koyach, and the builder, of course, he designs the structure and brings it to completion, the same way we, in effect, design the way the shape of the world is going to be. Higher level, lower level, existing, non-existing, we in fact are continuously building or destroying. Al tikra boinoich ela boinoich. And he says also behepechaz v'sholem. And also the converse is also true. The converse is also true. We not only build what we destroy. Boinoich means building. But the converse, al yidei masov, it is through the maise. It is through his maisim, it is through his deeds, oy dibura v'machshevoiso. Through his wrongful actions, through his wrongful words, and his wrongful thoughts, asheloi taivim, which are no good, who meharis rachmon al-islam. Says Rabbi Chaim, what he does, in fact, he causes destruction. Incalculable destruction, he says. Kamo koichois v'oilomois el-yoinim ha-gedoshim. How much destruction to so many of the upper worlds, le'ein erech v'shir. He says it's beyond mispar. It is countless, he says. He destroys it. Not only destroys it, as the Pesuk says, kamo shenema maharsayich u'machrevayich mimech yitzoyu. As the Novi says, as we know. The Novi says that in fact, that your destroyers, right, your destroyers, these come out of you. The ruiners and destroyers emerge from your midst. And as we ourselves are the ones that destroy. And sometimes, maybe, let's say, our action was not that bad, but it was bad. So then, says Reb Chaim, oy machshich. So you know what? It'll darken the world. It'll reduce the light of the world, the spiritual light. Oy machtin oyram ugdushosom chaz v'sholem. And not only he reduces the light of kiddush in this world, but what's even worse, he now feeds the forces of evil. All of that energy now goes to the other side. Umoysif koyach le'umaseh. And instead, he says, man's influence, he says, goes to the other side. And man's influence goes to the other side. B'medoyreis hatume rachmon l'slam. And in fact, it goes and feeds. He reinforces the sources of spiritual, he says, impurity, as he points out. So this, in fact, this Reb Chaim tells us, the tremendous koyach odom. So it comes out that with Reb Chaim, really, as we see over here, we can see from Reb Chaim the tremendous power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered man to have control. Literally, he controls not a world, worlds without a number. And how do we see that? Because when the Pasuk says that man was created B'Tzelem Elokim, and we already have established that the Shem Elokim, the all-powerful means that Hashem's role in this world is to continuously have input in the existence and in the sustenance and in the vitality of this world. So man is created B'Tzelem Elokim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that power over to man as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that power over to man, that man should have the ability either to raise the world, lower the world, destroy the world. In Kedusha. It's an amazing thing to behold. And therefore, says Reb Chaim, he says, Zehu, that's why in Bereishis, when the Pasuk says, Vayivra Elokim, that's the underlying thought. When the Pasuk said, it was the Pasuk we started with, Vayivra Elokim es Adam b'tzalmoy b'tzalam Elokim. Because Baruch Hu created man with his image. And the other pasuk, Ki Betzalem Elokim Oso, that Hashem made man with his image, as we find out. Shekemoi Shehu Yisbarach Shemoi Hu Elokim. Just as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Elokim. Elokim means again, the master of all forces. That's what Elokim means. Baal HaKoychois HaNimtzoyim B'chol O'ilomois Kulam. Kadosh Baruch Hu Elokim, the word Elokim means translation. Translation Elokim means the master of all the forces. Everywhere, guiding, Nisadrom Umanhigom Kol Rega Birsoinoi. Kadosh Baruch Hu guides and directs all of the world each moment. Cain the same way. It was the Rotzon Hashem that man should have the same koyach. Cain Hishlit Ritzoinoi Yizbarach Eso Odom HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered, and he gave man sovereignty. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave man sovereignty not only on Olam Hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave man sovereignty on all of the upper worlds. Sheyehu HaPoseach BaSoeger. He opens and he closes, depending on his actions. Shall kamo alothim riboyos. The Rebbe Chaim says, not 1, 2, 3, 10, 15. Thousands, tens of thousands, countless forces and worlds that man has the power over. Koyfus melomois. Based upon what? Al pikol prote sidre hanhegoiso. It all depends through the way that he conducts himself. Again he says, b'chol inyonov, b'chol eis v'rega mamish. B'chol eis v'rega mamish. We see from here, from Reb Chaim, it's not just when a person learns Torah, or he does a mitzvah, that these acts, you know, reach all the way up. But no matter what a man does, no matter what a man does, has the ability either to be positive act, or to be a negative act. That's what he says. B'chol eis v'rega mamish. Mamish in every moment, says Reb Chaim. Every moment, man exerts an influence on the world, for better or for worse. B'chol rega v'rega mamish, he says. Not once in a while. B'chol rega, every moment that we exist, we are exerting an influence in the world, not only this world, in tens of thousands, he says, in the upper worlds, in the oil, in the celestial worlds, based upon what we are doing, or thinking, or speaking. Kifi shiroshoi o'el yoin shomato. According to the far-reaching effects of either his deeds, or he says v'diburov, or in fact it is dibur, his words, u'machshivoysov, and it is his thoughts, he points out. So it means every interesting thing, even what is a seemingly trivial act, even what seems to be a trivial act, the ma'aseh either has a positive effect or has a negative impact on the higher worlds. That's what Chaim says. Why? Because in essence, the truth is, there is no trivial act. A yid, whatever he does, has to be with direction. There has to be a purpose. And there has to be a purpose, and the purpose will be either it benefits his well-being, that's also a mitzvah, benefits his well-being, benefits other people's well-being. It can have the opposite effect. He causes strife. He causes machlokes. He causes various situations. And these situations, through his actions, are either for better or for worse. So, b'chol eis v'rega, he exerts an influence on the world, as he points out. Ke'ilu hu gam kein baal ha'koyach shalahem. This is the tremendous power that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave man. Kodesh Baruch Hu endowed man as if he himself kibiyoko. As if. Because like Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, you know what? You play Rabbi Shalom. You play Rabbi Shalom. You're playing Rabbi Shalom not just for 5 minutes. The entire lifetime. Entire lifetime, every man is playing Rabbi Shalom. I'm the Rabbi Shalom. You can tell him the kimos. He won't create you, but tell him alakim. He gave you the power, he gave you the kar hashlita, he gave you the control that your action, in fact, will either build or destroy the world. Again, it's an amazing thing, and it's a tremendous responsibility when a man really thinks about that and contemplates a few minutes. This is a frightening, a Christ responsibility to behold. That now, before I do something, I realize it's not just impacting on myself, but it's consequences to myself, but really it impacts on an entire world. And the Chaim goes on to finish the perek. He says, "Vom Rizal." Because in fact, he says, we find the Echo Rabosi. We find the Medrash says in Echo. Medrash Echo, it says the following story. It says that Rabbi Kiva. Now, this is an amazing phrase. Which, by the way, this is a Chazal. Realize it's Chazal. This is a Chazal. Aruch HaKomim speaking. Rabbi Kiva saying, "Bishem." This is the Rosh Tevi says, "Bishem." Rabbi Yehuda ben Simon. Rabbi Kiva is saying the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Simon. Says Rabbi Yehuda here in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Simai. Bizman, he says, Bizman, he says, She Yisrael Oysim Mitzrayim Shalmokim. When the Jewish people, when they do the will of Hashem, Moisifin Koyach Begura Shomalo, they add strength to the power of above. It's an incredible statement. We in essence are giving fuel, we in essence are giving power. If we wouldn't be allowed to say that on our own. We in essence are giving power to the above. It is our actions are giving power to the above. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the power to be able to be a feeder. This is all part of Hashem's doing, of course. This is also part of Hashem's doing. When Yidden do the will, when Yisrael are doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moisifin Koyer Vigura Shomala, they add strength to the power above. Kimod At Amrit, as it is written in Tehillim, and in Tehillim, in fact, in Tehillim it says, Belikim Nasachoyel. Belikim Nasachoyel, which has been interpreted to mean, Chazal interpreted, that Belikim, in the power above, which is Elikim, Nasachoyel, what does Nasachoyel mean? Nasachoyel means that we, in fact, give chayel, that we give strength. That we strength, that we give power. We give strength and we give power. Belikim Nasachoyel. Ubizman She'en Yisrael Oysim Mitzrayim Shomoger. And when Yidden do not follow, when Yidden do not do the Rotzon of Hashem, what happens? Kibiyochel, as it were, Matishin Koyach Godol Shomalo. When Yidden disobey the will of Hashem, then they undermine the power of above. Imagine. The Sivir the Pasuk says, Tzur Yolotcho Teshi. Pasuk says in Parshas Hazinu, it says, Tzur Yolotcho Teshi, it means that you weakened the rock who gave birth to you. The rock meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say strong and powerful as a rock. You have weakened the rock that gave birth to you. The action of man. The action of man has the power to be matish, to undermine the power of above. And he continues and he says, "Ubikama mikoyim is b'zayir HaKadosh." And the truth is that in a number of places it said in the Zayir HaKadosh, it says as follows, The Choyvei Barnash means that the sins of a man, the Choyvanash, Ovdin Pigimu La'elo, that they cause deficiency up above. You have the translation here right in the side in the brackets, the most editions of Nefesh HaChaim. Chatoi Ben Odom, these are the sins of man, Oysin Pigam La'elo. This is not the words of the Nefesh HaChaim, but it was put into the editions translation, a little bit of translation. They put it in because the words of the Zayir HaKadosh, so to be able to understand it. So this is not actually Rav Chaim is writing this in the brackets here, but this has been inserted, so we should know what the Zayir HaKadosh is saying. And says, V'chaim HaHepet. Get out. And also the opposite is also true, as we mentioned before. And he says, the Zer Shomer HaKosit. And therefore the Pesuk says in Tehillim, and we say in the Davening, we say, Tenu Oiz Lelokim. We say, Tenu Oiz Lelokim, you give power. Come and give power to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean you give power to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to control this world and the upper world through our actions, through our maaseh, through our dibur, through our machshaveh, either lemalo or lemato. For better or for worse, to destroy it or to build. And ubizoya reish parshas boy. And the Zohar says in the beginning of parshas boy, vayhi hayoyim vayuboyu. The Zohar Kodesh talks about the posuk in Iyuv. It says there that the angels came to stand before Hashem. The angels came, the malachim came to stand before Hashem. So the Zohar says the following. It says, vayhi hayoyim vayuboyu lihisyatev al Hashem. The angels came to stand before Hashem. Kadboyin likayomo al inin uvdin de Yisrael. When the accusing angels, if they want to lodge complaints against Eden for the improper acts, the Zohar says they have solid ground. The accusing angels have solid ground. As he points out, vadai kayomen. These accusing angels have solid ground. Why? Because Yisrael uvdin uvdin de loy kisheron. Because when Eden do acts which are not kosher, you know what happens? Kibiyochol matishin chelo de kitchubriche. They are weakening the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this is Zohar. Ubar ovdin uvdin de kisher, the kat ovdin uvdin de kisherin, on the other hand, when they do acts which are kosher, they do positive acts, then you have in toikfa, then they give toikif, get the opposite, then they give strength and power. Toikfa b'chelo, they give strength and power to kitchubrichu. Valdoksiv, and it is for that, that the Potskin Tilim that was mentioned before says, the new eyes of Lelikim, give might to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Pasuk. And that's what says, Lelikim, yes, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you're doing, you're not doing just for yourself, but Lelikim, it has a fact, effect that's born to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chain again is in Tehillim, Bilekim Nasechoyel, Shepirshu Balei HaKoyches Kulam, which means, so again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, through Elikim, endowed us with all of these tremendous, tremendous koyches. So again, so it's an amazing thing to behold. This is what Tzelem Elikim means, because again, there are so many different perushim. If you look at the Meforash HaTorah, what does it mean? Man was created with Tzelem Elikim, and we already went through some of them. We also spoke about the term of the Torah's definition. We spoke about the Ramchal's definition. It's Tzelem Elikim. According to Reb Chaim's definition, Tzelem Elikim means that man carries the power of Elikim. What's behind the word Elikim? The title Elikim means Baal HaKoychoi Skulam, the all-powerful. In the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously sustains the world every moment. The world doesn't exist today because it existed at the time of creation. But every moment is sort of like recreated. That is in fact what man himself is doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man that koyach. He was created with Tzelem Elikim. By the way, that power is given over to no human beings, only Klal Yisrael, only Jewish people. This is the Klal of the Zohar Kodesh. This is the Yisrael that are Mesifim, Koyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also we find in the Medrash Eicha, these are Maseyim Shel Yisrael. This is the Koyach. So even though man was created, the Pasuk talks about Tzelem Elikim, talks about generality. But this extreme Koyach, it's pointed out in the Chazal, this is given to the Koyches of Eden. Maseyim Shel Yisrael have the far-reaching effect all the way to the Yoylomus or Yoynim, but the Maisim of Umis Oylem don't have that kind of a Koyach. This is a different parasha with Neasimoy. Akoponim, so what we see over here, what Reb Chaim is telling us, Tenuois Lulikim. Tenuois Lulikim means that, in fact, our actions give power to the above. The interesting thing is that in a drosha to Rosh Hashanah, in a particular drosha to Rosh Hashanah, Reb Chaim Volozhin, he added this thought, to this concept, and he said that's the meaning of the posse that we say in davening Friday night. We say Hashem Oiz Le'amo Yitain, Hashem Yivarech Samo Vashomer. So the Chaim says, following this train of thought, you know what the meaning is? Hashem Oiz Le'amo Yitain. Hashem gave power to his people. What kind of power? They have control over the world. That's the power. Hashem Oiz Le'amo Yitain. Hashem gave Taka the power that everything that a Yid does, whether he says, his thoughts, right? His machshavas, his dibur, his maise have this tremendous, tremendous, far-reaching effect. Just want to mention this as an aside, and then we'll take a look at the sheet, Rabbi Isai. Just mention as an aside, and that is that the truth is we're talking about the Tzelem Elikim. We're talking about the power of Hashem. Elikim means taklis baal yecholas kulam. Hashem is the all-powerful. The emphasis and in the Hagoyis of Reb Chaim. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, probably did, because we skipped the Hagoyis. We're going to the As we go through the Prokim, there are Hagoyis that are printed right in the middle. In various sections, you have the little asterisks that you have over there. These asterisks, this is not from Reb Chaim, from Chaim's son. This is Reb Issel Volozhin. Reb Issel Volozhin commented and added to the thoughts of his father, Reb Chaim. And it has been suggested by many who study Nefesh HaChaim that sometimes not always to learn together the Hagoyis with Reb Chaim's words himself, because sometimes you get sort of distracted with the Hagoyis and you lose the train of thought of what Reb Chaim himself wants to say. So the styles of many Mekoymus is to learn Nefesh HaChaim, and then maybe to go over again if you have time, and then to go with some of the Hagoyis of Reb Zalpanovich. But I just want to mention that Reb Zalpanovich makes a point of saying that the truth is, he says, interesting thing, we're putting so much emphasis into the word Elikim, yet we find the shame Elikim is being shared also by other forces as well. And he points out here in the Hagoyis that all of the ministering angels, the Sarim, you know, every nation has a Sar in Shemayim. Every nation has a Sar in Shemayim. And he says at the end of Perik Beis, shout out to Perik Beis, the previous Perik, he says in the Hagor, "Va'afshu Shem Mishutet L'chol Bal Koyach Shinim Tzibayolam." The truth is that the Shem Elikim is not reserved only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. "V'chol Sarim Malo Umato Mikroim Elikim." For example, it says, "Elohei Ho'amin." Or it says, "Kikol Ho'amin." It says, Lochein Ish B'Shem Elikov. So it means to say that all the various different so-called gods, we also see the term of Elikim. We find it regarding Abimelech, we find it regarding Lavan, we find it by Yovel Elikim regarding Bilam and so on and so forth. So he points out, Rabbi Zalpanovich, and says, you know why all those other forces have the title of Elikim? He says, the reason is because whatever power they got it from Hashem. Whatever power they got it from Hashem. They don't have any independent power. So Manila, so Adrabe, you look at a power out there, and you want to somehow want to start to believe in that power. I want you to know that's not an independent power. If it has, half of them don't have any power at all, or 90% of them don't have any power. But if you do find some sort of foreign source that seems to have power, realize you got Elohim, that the source of that power comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not that, of course, that is Chas V'Shalom, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That these are Avodah Zarah. But they are called also the Shem Elohim, because it means that Slamaisa, any power that they might have. So therefore, it's not always important, by the way, it's not always important to deny Avodah Zarah by saying that there's absolutely no power always. Avodah Zarah might have power, but the point is, it's not their power. They don't have independent power. The power comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Nekuda. So they themselves are not worth worshipping at all because they don't have independent power. And that, in fact, by the way, Reb Chaim Volozhin himself says it in Shar Gimel Perik Pes. Reb Chaim says that, in fact, was the mistake that many, many thousands of years ago, when you had the forces, the multitudes of Avodah Zarah, they thought, when they saw how the sun functions, they see the sun has power. The sun has tremendous power. And you see all the various planets, and they saw all the powers, so they began worshipping it. But they never realized that the sun's power is not an independent power. It's the power that Kadosh Baruch Hu implanted in the sun. They interpreted, misinterpreted, seeing that the various powers in the world, in the universe, that somehow these are also powers. There's a power called sun, and there's a power called moon, and there's a power called stars. They worship the down to stars and so on. That was where the mistake was. The mistake was because they attributed independent power. The mistake is that no, that all of that power comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if Kadosh Baruch Hu for one moment would remove the power that he gives them, then it all turned to nothingness, it would be nothing. So ultimately, all of the power that you may find here and there, no matter where it is, the ultimate power comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, Rashi himself was really bothered. You have to realize in Parshas Yisroel, we find that the Shem Elohim is used for foreign gods. For example, in Sarah Sadibra said, Elohim Acher. Other God, other Elohim. What do you mean other Elohim? They are not Elohim. If the way we understand that Elohim to mean, we use Elohim for Kaddish, Elohim for Chol, and when we talk about the Zoras, we say Elohim. If they're really nothing, and Elohim means that Kaddish Baruch is the all powerful, so what do you mean Elohim Acherim? So Rashi was bothered by it. Rashi himself said, you know what Elohim Acherim mean? Rashi said, there's no such thing. In other words, most of us, when we hear that passage, we don't know what it means. We've heard Aser Sadibris probably thousands of times being read. What does it mean? Do not have other gods. Rashi says that's not the meaning. Rashi! It's not from Drush. Why? Rashi says, first of all, he says it's a big deny. It's a big shame. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would even allow other gods to carry that title. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Lo Yilacho Elohim Acherim? No. Lo Yilacho Elohim Acherim means you should not have Elohim Acherim. Others made them into gods. They're not gods. Elohim Acherim. The gods of others, meaning that others made them into gods. They consider them to be gods. Not that the Torah is calling them gods, just that they are other gods. No, the Torah doesn't call them other gods. Others made them into gods. They decided that they are also gods. Not that the Torah is giving them that title, that they are Elohim. That's what Rashi says. Elohim Acherim Ashidoshnis, Acherim Otsum Elohim Aleim. Others made them, took them as gods upon themselves. However, Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Maaseh, what does Rabbeinu Bechaya say? Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Elohim Acherim, how are they gods? They're not gods. Elohim Acherim means, because whatever power they have, they received it. They received it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's called Elohim Acherim, because they don't have their own power. The power they get is from elsewhere, which means coming from, in fact, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ultimately, whatever power you find, no matter where it is, the power is coming. Is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My boys, let's take a look, a few minutes, let's take a look at the sheet that we have here. We'll take a look and see how the Beis Halevi himself, how he expounded on the idea of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Volozhin. I want to mention that also, that it is quite appropriate, that in fact that we are here discussing here this the Beis Halevi. I think I'm missing a sheet here. Oh, I have it here. Okay, I have a sheet here. Okay, so it's interesting that we have the Beis Halevi, who interestingly follows the same ideas that has been promoted here by Reb Chaim, because you know the Beis Halevi, the father of Reb Chaim Brisker, in fact was a Ninekel, was a descendant of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And just to give you the rundown, just the Beis Halevi's father's name was Reb Yitzchok Zeif. That's what the Brisker of his, the grandchild of the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim's son, Brisker of was Reb Velvel, Reb Yitzchok Zeif. That was his full name, Reb Yitzchok Zeif. So Yitzchak. The name of Yitzchak Zev, the Briskerov, was after his great-grandfather. His grandfather was the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi's father was Rabbi Yitzchak Zev. Yitzchak Zev was the son of Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik. And Rabbi Yosef was the son-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. So that's the simple cheshbon. So the Beis Halevi was, in fact, an uncle of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. And just Kedai Tech mentioned that Hagoyer of Cheskel Avramsky. Remember Cheskel Avramsky, when he used to speak about Beis Halevi, he said, you know what the Yerushalayim of the Beis Halevi was? He says he was a Yerushalayim, he says, 24 hours a day, Pachad Mamish, he would sit in front of him. Yerushalayim of the Beis Halevi was 24 hours a day. Yerushalayim, you could see it. If you look at the Beis Halevi, he said, you could see him actually tremble from Pachad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, don't think that's an easy thing, because think about yourself. Even for 5 minutes a day, he would take the time to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was not Masiach Das. He says 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day, he was not Masiach Das. Did not let it leave his mind that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a creator in the world. And it had influenced him every moment of his life. Agaburche, he says that you want to realize something, you want to know something, that in addition to everything that the Beis Halevi knew in Torah, he says he knew, he said, the entire Zohar HaKodesh Baal Peh. That's what Cheskel Avramsky said about the Beis Halevi. This is a chesed that you don't know about the Beis Halevi. You think that he has no shaykh to that part of learning. He didn't expound on that publicly. These are things that he learned between it. But Cheskel Avramsky said he must have, he says that the Beis Halevi said knew the entire Zohar HaKodesh in Baal Peh. He also said that it was a darshan nipla. It was a tremendous Baal Darshan. You can imagine, Beis Halevi. He had tremendous koich in the sefer Beis Halevi. What's interesting is in his young age, just want to mention one more thing, as he wandered, he came, you know, this is the Litvisha Derech HaLevid, and he ended up there in Poland by Shlomo Klieger. Shlomo Klieger was the greatest goyin, was a considerable goyin ador of his time, but Shlomo Klieger. And he spent quite a while, and Shlomo Klieger, mamish, was so despoiled of the goyinus of the Beis Halevi, a young Beis Halevi. Not only that he was mechaber him, he gave him the honor to darshan, to give a drosha to the Chachmei Brod. Shlomo Klieger was in Brod. Brod was the city of Chachonim, Malaya Chachonim B'Seifrit. And he was Mechabed the Beis Halevi in his young age, in the Rishu Darshan. And when they left, when the Beis Halevi had to leave, so Shlomo Klieger said to him like this, he said, listen, for the few weeks that we spent time together, and we spoke in learning, the way it was like this is, I had a kasha, and you gave a teres. This is the way it was. Shlomo Klieger says, I would give you a kasha, and you would give me a teres. But now there is one kasha that you can't answer, you have no teres. What's the kasha? Kosho Alai Peridas. Because I can't manage to separate myself. He says that this is a kasha you're not going to be able to answer. Kosher alive for that one. Says this is the kind of kasha. So it's just interesting that in 1854, Lamaisa, the Beis Halevi functioned also as a Rosh Yeshiva in the Lodzhin. There was a lot of entire later. I'm not going to get into that now. So we're going to take a look here. Rabbi Yisai, to see here. Let's take what the Beis Halevi says. Okay. The Beis Halevi goes on the posik that we say by Kiddush every Friday night. We say by Chalolikim, by Yoyim Ashvi, Malach Tashrosa, Kodesh Baruch Hu completed on the seventh day the work that he did. So Kodesh Baruch Hu completed on the seventh day. Isa B'medrash Shavi Rashi, Rashi brings down Ma Hoyo Oilam Chosar. In 6 days, at the end of 6 days, what was still missing? Kodesh Baruch Hu actually created everything. What was missing? Menucha. Rest was missing. Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. Shabbos came, so now we have rest also. What is the meaning here? What was missing? What was lacking? Shabbos came, so now we have Menucha. Says Beis Halevi, Bo Lefarish Loshen HaKosef. First of all, to see what the Medrash is attempting to say, and then we have to understand what is the Medrash saying. First of all, what is the Medrash bothered by? What is the Medrash bothered by? Beis Halevi says, the Medrash bothered by a simple question. Pasuk says, Be'echal Be'yoy Mashvi. Let's translate those words. Hashem completed creation on the seventh day. It's not true. He didn't work on the seventh day. He didn't complete anything on the seventh day. Whatever was completed by the sixth day. By the end of the sixth day, it was completed. So what does it mean he completed on the seventh day? What does it mean? Simple translation. It's mashma that he did something. That he did something on the seventh day to complete creation. But it's not so. He didn't do anything on the seventh day. Seventh day he rested. So what does it mean he completed his work on the seventh day? No, he completed it on the sixth day. At the end of the sixth day, whatever it took, but at the sixth day, everything was completed on the sixth day. So it's not that he completed on the seventh day. What do you mean by Yechal Olikim? V'halo v'shishi nigmaro kol amlocha. All of the work was completed already on the sixth day. So the Medrash wants to explain it, but we don't know what the Medrash is saying. But this is what the Medrash is trying to answer. Beis Halevi understands it, that this is the way the Beis Halevi wants to explain it. The Shabbos Bo Menucha, that Shabbos, when it says that the world was completed on a Shabbos, it means the philosophy of Menucha. Now what does it mean? What does it mean that the world was creation of the world was completed on the Shabbos through the act of Menucha? That's what it means. Because if the Pesuk says that the seventh day contributed to the completion of creation, it means there was some input by the seventh day. What input was there by the seventh day? The input in creation by the seventh day that there was Menucha. What kind of input is that? It's a passive input, if anything. What kind of input is Menucha in completing creation? Well, the Haven HaKavonah Bazeh Eb Shalomah. Now look what the Beis HaLevi says. And we can see quite familiar words that we saw now in Reb Chaim, in the Nefesh HaChaim. He says, "Bishisha yom harishayim bara kol yom chadoshes." First of all, in the first 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously created new things. First day, you had Bereishis with Shemayim v'Yoretz, then came breath, then came water, was separated. Always was new things. It was not, every day, the 6 days brought new things, right? Brought new things into the world. Right? That was the process of the 6 days. The process of the days bringing into the world always something new. Always something new. And that's what it means. First of all, Beis HaLevi wants to say, when we say Hashem does melacha, in the kavon of the pasuk, the way the pasuk is using it, the way the Torah is using the pasuk, Hashem does melacha, doesn't mean any melacha. Hashem, when you say Hashem is doing malacha, it means is he's bringing something new into the world. So the terminology of malacha means bringing something new. If we are repeating, that's not called malacha. This is what the Beis HaLevi is trying to posit. Every time when Hashem creates something new, it means he's doing a malacha. But let's say Hashem is recreating. It's also new, but it's creating old. He's recreating old. Recreating is not called malacha. The idea of malacha is creating something that didn't exist. Look how good. This is the way the Beis HaLevi wants to explain the word malacha in context of Hashem. When you talk about Hashem doing malacha, the kavan of the pasuk regarding Hashem, the intent of the word malacha, malacha is being used as a concept of creating something new. Again, the zeh hanikra shota ba malacha, ha'im shechidish boi dover chodosh lehoi mekoyim. When Shabbos came, also by Briya Chadosha, Shabbos, nothing new was created, right? So what happened on Shabbos? So what's happening on Shabbos? Does it really mean Shabbos nothing happens? No. A lot happens on Shabbos. The only thing that does not happen on Shabbos is Malacha. And what's the definition of Malacha? When Hashem does Malacha. How is the terminology of Malacha used in relation to Hashem? Creating something new. Shabbos, we didn't have malacha, means nothing new was created, but a lot was being done. As he goes on to point out, a lot was being done on Shabbos. Let's take a look. We have Shabbos again. It didn't create something new that didn't exist. Like oz is chila bria toilam, but then started the world. Lias niver kisiduroi, that the world goes on in the seder. In other words, from Shabbos, the world repeats itself. Whatever exists in the first 6 days, whatever was created in the first 6 days, continues on. Shavisa merely means, resting merely means not doing nothing. Resting doesn't mean doing nothing. Resting means resting from malacha. What does malacha mean? Creating new. So resting from malacha means not creating new. Shavisa means, kiboy shabbat hainu shiboy rela oilam, kibi mashahoy mekoydem beloy his chaches. In other words, on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates. The world can't exist one moment without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continuous input. Shabbos is no different. Shabbos also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to continue blowing life every moment into the world. So what does it mean, Shvisa? He's resting? He's doing a lot. He's sustaining the world every moment. Resting means, in contrast to the word malacha. What's the definition of malacha when Hashem does malacha? The terminology of malacha when Hashem does it, not like we do it. We do any type of work, it's called malacha. I did a malacha today. When Hashem does malacha, in relation to Hashem, the word malacha has a much higher meaning. Malacha in Hashem, from Hashem's vantage point, malacha means creating something new that never existed. From that element, Shabbos he was showing this. Shabbos he didn't create anything, but you know what? But on Shabbos he continues to create the existing world over again, and over again. Shabbos Baruch Hu sees for one moment, like Reb Chaim Volozhin and Nef Shechaim. Should the Brooklyn cease for one moment to infuse the world with light, the world would return to nothingness. Let's take a look at the base. Let's take a look. Shabbos also there's a bria. The yedua de bechol rega Hashem yizborach mamti kol hanim toim. Mamish. He's emphasizing mamish. Don't think that I'm saying it's somehow exaggerating. Every moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu fresh brings the world around. Yesh mayim. The world is recreated newly, freshly, every moment. Yesh mayim. The rega harishoyno ein esibo lahanim toim l'rega shalachayim. The fact that there was a world 2 minutes ago is not the reason you have a world now. The reason you have a world now because Hashem created the world over again now. It's continuous, except it's not new elements. He's recreating that which we had. The first 6 days, there's always new things being created. But after the 6 days on, recreation, as great as the feat and achievement is. But the terminology of Malacha fits new things, as he points out. So he says, it comes out. The only thing is, the Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates the way it was in the beginning. As we say, Yoyseroyer, HaMechadish, in the Baruch of Yisrael, HaMechadish, B'tuvah, B'chol Yom Tov, and Ma'asa Bereishis, that every moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadish, Ko'omur Lo'oyser Oyrim, Lo'oyser Ki Lo'oylam Chazdoi, continuous, Ki Lo'oylam, the B'chol Rega, Hu Mamsi Lo'oylam Yesh Ma'ayim, and into the Gam Atah, Hu Boroi, Kimoy B'shishu Yom HaRishonim. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu continues. Like a chiliku, the Bishisha Yomim Bara Boy Zover Chodosh Mashloi Bekoidim. The first 6 days he created new that never existed before. That never was around ever before. The Zeru Shekorah Potsik Veloshin Oz Bemalocha. Ume Oz Beholo. And from then on, Boy Roy Bechol Rega Alat Muna on the picture Shehoi Oil and Rega Koidim. After 6 days, the Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates on the old diagram, on the old blueprint. That's the chiliku. First 6 days, every day there's a new blueprint because there's new things. After 6 days, the Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates on the old blueprint. That's why we don't call it Melocha, as he points out. The word Melocha. Because from then on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baroi Ala Tmuna, on the original picture, Shoy Yoelam Berega HaKoidim Kitivoi Kisidura Beloichinui. Or Melocha Zu, this Melocha that he does now, the Hain Abriya Beloichinui, recreating without new, recreating all over again. But recreating nonetheless, recreating. This Bria Beloshinoi is called Beloshna Potik Shvisa. You know why? Because you can't tell. Ask someone if Hashem is creating the world now. What do you mean? The world is there, the world is standing. Since for thousands of years. What is time for thousands of years? Beloshinoi. You understand? So since you can't recognize, the first time when Hashem created the world, everybody saw it. But now that the world continues, you don't recognize it. That's what's called Shvisa. That's why it's called Shvisa. Because you don't see it. You don't recognize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu's input. Yan, ki odom in a margish boy, asiyas malocha binyan zeh hischol b'shabbos. That started from Shabbos on. Recreation started. The yotzeh mazeh, the Shabbos hu lomu lo'oys v'zikorim. So Shabbos remains forever. As a sign, the gam ato, that even now, on the surface of the naked eye, the world just continues on in its natural way. That's what it appears. This does not stand on its own. So this, Rabbi Yitzhak, I'm going to stop here. Time is out. This gives us an idea again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world every moment, every rega, continuously. The world continuously is being recreated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if man is created by Tzelem Elokim, we, Rabbi Yisai, are recreating the world every moment, and our influence is upon it for better or for worse.